Are we living in a revolutionary moment? Fareed Zakaria makes the case that we are. And if he's right, there's a lot at stake.
I think the stakes are really liberal democracy. What has happened is the people who are displaced, anxious, angry, radicalized, the focus of their ire, their attention is basically to tear down the system, you know, the world that produced all this.
Hear more this week on The Gray Area, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We're doing it again. We did a show last night, and we're back here in our regular time slot at 4:15 PST, where you can see us pretty much every week. And I've got two great guests for you today. Two friends of mine. I've worked with both of these guys. Comedians. What else would you... let's just say it. It's Kyle Kinane and Tommy Chong. You saw their names flying through space in the opening credits, so I don't know why I'm acting like it's a big surprise. But Kyle, you probably just found out Tommy's going to be on the show with you like a few minutes ago.
I think my biggest credit now is sitting next to Tommy Chong.
It's mine because we did the marijuana logs together.
Okay.
And, so it's already my biggest credit.
We actually slept together.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Same motel.
Yeah, same place. But Kyle had warned me that he might be kind of a timid or a quiet guest after we start smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and I just wonder how intimidated you might, like, you probably didn't expect the biggest stoner icon of all time to be somebody that you have to try to keep up with today.
You know what? I'm just going to go for it. I like to see what's going to happen here. You know?
That's a stoner way.
That's the way to do it.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. And have I even said the words Tommy Chong yet? I probably haven't, right? Tommy Chong is here.
Yeah.
Come on, studio crowd area. We got him. You know, from day one of this thing on Twitter, I never hear the end of it. Get Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
Why isn't Tommy Chong on? And I'm like, well, you know, we're asking him.
It just takes money. That's all.
Yeah, because you
weed.
Or weed. Yeah, because you were kind of running all over Colorado, taking advantage of it being legal since January 1st.
Yep. Yeah.
And
it's paying off.
Yeah, and you're also in a business sense because you're involved in a marijuana website called Cannasaver.com.
Cannasaver.com, and don't ask me what it's about because I don't remember.
No, for real? Because I was like, oh, don't tell me what it's about. Well, I'll find out when Tommy tells me about it.
No, it's
we're both going to be sitting here going,
it's a coupon thing.
Yeah, it's the coupons and discounts for marijuana-related things all throughout Colorado.
That's right. And it's a good filter, too, because if you got enough intelligence to deal with coupons, that means you got a bank account.
Sure.
And you can pay, and that's very important. You know.
I don't remember I have Groupons for stuff now when I'm sober. I don't know how I'd remember having a Groupon for weed.
Well, see, you're the majority. Believe me.
I always leave a restaurant going, oh, wait a minute, I had a coupon for this place. Yeah.
So do you think this will, this endeavor will grow and you'll do it like in Washington State? And it's 419. You know what I mean? Like, as the states legalize it, you can just do it everywhere.
The legalization thing has blown everybody's mind because now we're going to find out why these idiots start wars and things, you know, because you can make, there's so many people around and you only need a few bucks from each one. And like there's billions of people on this planet.
Yeah.
And if they all chip in and give us a buck a piece, you know, hey, we got billions of dollars.
Yeah, plus all the rich people are starting to realize that they can make money off of this, too.
That's the ones that... Mm-hmm. See, what we're doing, we're kind of moving in before the rich people get really hip to it. Because once they get hip to it, you know, Walmart or someone will come
in. Yeah, you don't want them taking over too early, but you do want, you know, eventually you want them to be involved because they want to just make it legal. It should just be legal.
Yeah.
No one should be sitting in a prison cell like you had to go through just for... anything related to marijuana, pretty much.
It was worth it.
Other than, it was worth it?
It was worth it.
I love that. That's such a great attitude. So it's 420, so we have to all smoke right now.
Okay.
These are all loaded. Every pipe and bong on the table is loaded up with some sativa right now called grapefruit. That's but nice there you go. Bite. You like that one? So
like
just
one.
Grab any one you like, Kyle.
Okay.
Okay, now what do you do?
I imagine you're a sativa man. You probably like it more up high than...
Yeah, let's give it a whirl.
What do you do? You light it and then you inhale? And
mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'll watch you.
Yeah, that's... We'll walk you through it, Tommy.
And you hold your breath? See the thumb?
Yeah.
What'd you do there?
It's from years of lighting it like this here.
I think you need a better
one. You mean like your thumb has evolved and it's a different, your hand's a different shape because you've done that so
That's
much?
That's from doing it for so much.
You should just get a
And it's drink. Actually from playing guitar.
Oh, okay.
Years
that's
of playing
a little,
guitar.
That's a little bit more strenuous. If it's just from lighting a lighter, that's a lot of lighter lighting.
Switch your hand.
I've always loved Doug. I've always loved Doug because he always goes for that. He goes, oh, really?
I fall for it, man. Everything you say sounds so like you're a professor. Marijuana.
When we did the marijuana logs, you cracked me up, man, because you're always so serious. Never really been around a serious stoner.
I was focused and professional. I had to keep those other two stoners in line.
Yeah, but then you were the one that would bring the shit across the border.
That's true.
When I was on probation.
Well, I know.
That's a
long story, but...
is any of this incriminating at any point?
No. The short version is Tommy had to quit a tour he was on with me because of his probation.
Yeah, I was on probation.
Yeah, we couldn't go places where people are throwing weed at you. So, you couldn't be riding around in a car with three guys that had weed on them.
So I take a job called the marijuana logs, you know, and that should have given me a bit of a clue, or at least the probation officer.
Right.
But it was okay, except I got nervous when you... brought the dope across the border.
Yeah, we got nervous. We didn't intend to do that. It was just like, oh shit, we have all this weed. What are we gonna do? And we said to you, are we gonna get high if we just eat it? If we just eat it raw? And you're like, oh yeah, you'll get high. And we all ate it and it just didn't do it. I didn't do anything for me. I do fall for it every time. I believe everything
he
says.
Some people do get high. I get high when I eat it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Also, it's based on circumstances. Like, it's probably more likely to get you high. Like, if you're on an empty stomach or something. You know, like just like edibles. But you know,
I love Doug.
It was a weird
very
experience.
Very analytical. He's okay. Why do we get high? You know, empty stomach. You know.
Our friends at Leafly call grapefruit, which we're smoking right now. It's a sativa that they say. One reviewer called it the sativa that's their go-to daily anxiety maintenance medication.
Oh, well, in that case.
That to me sounds like they want to maintain anxiety, but
No.
It's to get rid of it, to keep it down.
Maintain your anxiety.
I shouldn't be trying to keep up with him, should
Yes,
I?
You should.
Oh, okay.
Hit that Wonka pipe.
What's that do?
And then this thing right here?
Yeah.
This thing's crazy. I loaded this up with indica because I'm trying not to be an indica snob that people are accusing me of being. Because every week the guests just want to smoke sativa. You know the difference between sativa and indica?
I don't know.
Before you get too high, I got a question for you.
I don't smoke a lot of pot. And
right,
so
right.
I had a half a cookie last week, and I was like, I don't think it's working. And I had every couch cushion piled on top of me, and I rewound a video about teenage magicians three times.
That video sounds good, either high or not high.
Yeah.
But
teenage magicians. Without panties, that one?
Who knew? We have one on the set.
I mean, if they could have made them disappear. But these were legitimate magicians.
But do like
you weren't watching porn when you're high?
No, well,
you weren't really
You
high
don't
high
rewind
you
porn,
watch a lot
you
of
watch
things
another
when you're high.
Porn.
Yeah, yeah.
You just kind of...
But Kyle is the voice of Comedy Central right now. Like when you see promos on Comedy Central
and
stuff.
And now Comedy Central.
That's
right.
Me, yeah.
But
that's
like,
yeah, yeah.
But do it for us, because when you just talk, it doesn't sound the same. Like you do kind of, it's kind of a performance, right?
Yeah. Well,
you say, I guess you don't usually shout things when you're just talking.
No, announce
that something's coming, yeah.
I have to do it in hotel rooms because I have a little mobile kit and it's fun because I'll just be in a hotel room like, Tuesday. And they're like, I think housekeeping just thinks I'm like Like, I've got like OCD or something about 10:30 on Wednesdays. Wednesdays at 10:30. Wednesdays at 10:30.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it's like. When I hear that, it doesn't sound like you to me. Like, yeah. I had been here. How long have you been doing that?
Like 3 or 4 years.
At least 2 years in before I found out it was you.
I know. It was nice when nobody knew.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet gig. Yeah.
Good gig.
Bark into a microphone for a little bit.
Yeah.
Please don't fire me. Workaholics is on your channel. Oh, what?
Figured out something about this last week. It's impossible to clear the chamber in one hit because each of these things, the smoke just spins around in a circle in them. You can't get it all the way through.
That's so Doug Benson, man. He looks at the smoke and figures out, oh, wow. Smoke goes around and it goes through here. Oh, shit.
So this nastiness that I just tried, that is an indica called Pure Kush. And Leafly advises you to clear your schedule if you smoke this. unfortunately, I have a show to do. That stuff I just smoked.
That's going to mellow you out. Yeah. Is that supposed to mellow you out?
It's a favorite of pain sufferers and can leave you heavily sedated.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm drinking coffee, too.
I can't smoke when I do the show now.
Which show?
I'm working with Cheech.
You know, right. And when you do your show, you can't smoke first?
Yeah.
You used to all the time, right? You used to just do it high.
We had to. It was in the contract.
Yeah, the audience would get pissed if they thought you weren't high.
But what happens when I'm doing Cheech and Chong, I forget that I'm doing Cheech and Chong. Cheech is back there going, Jesus.
Oh, you just do Chong? It's just you talking? Waiting for my cue.
I stay out there a little bit longer.
Oh.
Then when he comes out.
That was real racist.
No, that was good.
It sounded like him, though, kind of. But it was super.
And then
super
when I come out, he's really pissed, you know. And he's supposed to be funny, and he walks out there really pissed. So I don't smoke.
Let's talk about it. I think that you not only did so much for the marijuana movement, I mean everything for it, but also just in relations between races. Mm. The fact that you guys were such a interracial pair, and I don't think you ever were the jokes ever. Did you ever make fun of each other's race at all? You're just two guys hanging out.
No.
Yeah.
The characters we played weren't smart enough.
They weren't clever enough to be racist.
Our characters, our only thing was,
let's get some weed.
Let's get some weed.
And, you know, sometimes I watch those things and it's like, it makes me a little anxious because, you know, poor Cheech, man, you really screw him over, not on purpose, but like you're in the room smoking with some girl, having sex with her, and he's outside hanging out the window.
I was the director.
Desperate. You're calling those shots.
And that's why he won't let me direct any more movies, you know.
But he's funny. He's good at playing the more anxious of the pair, you know, like, yeah, you know, your funny, thing was, man. Your thing is just, you're so chill, it's hilarious.
It was brilliant. But I'd like to record us writing it, because that's even funnier, because he gets pissed off. He gets really pissed off.
Well, plus, he's got all those Celebrity Jeopardy wins now, too.
So, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's got to be good for the self-esteem.
See, the real Cheech doesn't speak Spanish that well, you know. The real Cheech is like a genius, you know, one of those, they give him a
savant. Mensa? Are you equating speaking Spanish with being a genius?
No, but he's been tested as close to Mensa, you know, that kind of.
Right.
Oh, that's about Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah. So he kicks everybody's ass on Celebrity Jeopardy all the time. And so him playing that dumbass Chicano is not really a stretch, but it's an insult to the mental capabilities that he has.
Right.
And so so it's really funny.
Thank God Nash Bridges came along.
That's what I'm saying.
And we sort of saw that he's really smart and knows, you know, learns all his lines and is on the show every week.
And then
good actor,
Don,
too.
You know, he could play that.
He was in a play on stage with, like, Sean Penn and Nick Nolte, I think, up in San Francisco.
Time, yeah.
Woody Harrelson was in that, too. It was crazy.
Yeah.
All-star cast. I love that you guys are in, like,
Martin Scorsese's After Hours. I love that movie, and I love when you guys, you know, show up.
Yeah, that was Martin Scorsese's call.
Yeah,
he wanted.
That's such a great idea.
Because they kept saying, you know, okay, we got these two guys that are like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, and so let's just get Cheech and Chong.
Why don't we get Cheech and Chong?
That's great. Let's do a Twitter question for your Twitter handle is, of course, at Tommy Chong.
Is it from Canisave? Is it a question from Canisave?
Or about Canisave?
Yeah, is it about Canisave?
We can mention Canisave every few minutes if you like.
Canisave, is that what you think?
Yeah.
I don't want to be blatant about that.
Boy, between you know, the pot smoking and your age, you could probably get out of anything. You could pretend to not know about anything you want.
Oh, man, I use everything.
Jesus.
I use my deafness.
Oh,
fuck. That's the greatest thing in the world. Because they can see anything to you. If you don't want to answer, you just look away. You know? Look at them like, oh, hey, what's up?
You're in your 70s, according to this Twitter person, and you look ridiculously good and healthy. Would you say marijuana helped that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Corey Moe wants to know that.
Absolutely. I mean, good living and like weightlifting and finding out that I have cancer, you know, that had a lot to do with my getting back in shape. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
you've always been in pretty good shape.
No,
I mean,
yeah,
you never let yourself go.
No. No, I got a gorgeous wife, man, and boy, that bitch.
She makes you work
no,
for
you
it?
Gotta keep up with her, you know?
Oh, God.
She takes dance lessons.
Oh, no.
She always wants to go out.
Oh, my God.
You know, guys are always
sitting around. I can't handle that.
And I'm always kind of like getting in the way.
You know? Get in there.
Then now I'm being called her father all the time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so does your father need a chair?
Yeah, for her to do a lap dance for him. At Tom76257 on Twitter, I jumped ahead a bunch of questions, wants to know, because it's related to what we were just saying, how did you discover Rick Simpson's hemp oil that ultimately cured your cancer? Is that an accurate question?
Well, you can't say cured, but it helped.
Okay.
It helped. Definitely helped the cancer. And why do you think Rick Simpson's oil is the same oil that you get anywhere. You know, it's
what
nothing
do you,
special.
What do you use it for? What do you do with it?
Take it orally.
Yeah.
Go into a coma for 2 days. The cancer cells get so stone, they forget why they're there and they wander off. You
know. They're just not so aggressive anymore.
And then it's done. Well, no, it really takes out cancer. It took out the guy's skin cancer. The guy had skin cancer on his face and he rubbed the oil into it and it went away. And the doctors got pissed off. You know, where's your cancer? You know,
right.
How am I going to make some money if you don't have cancer?
Yeah,
sell many more medicines.
How are the pharmaceutical companies going to?
Yeah.
Get their hands on
that. So, no, that oil, it really works. Yeah.
All right. Let's do some high history.
Cool.
No, you don't have to know anything about history while you're high.
God.
It's the question is, Kyle, and then we have to go to a commercial break, and we'll talk to Tommy about his. His is a little bit more detailed, I'm sure.
If it's a question about what happened 15 minutes ago, I couldn't tell you.
What'd you do? Well, you do remember the first time you smoked.
Vaguely, yeah.
And why? Like you just with friends or something?
Yeah, just wanted to, you know, suburban. It's a very good.
And then you just kept doing it occasionally.
I did a lot.
Most of your adult life.
Oh,
a lot when you were younger?
Yeah. Got
you
real
guys talking about masturbation? Because it sounds the same.
Both of them, I think I was introduced to it the same way.
All right, we'll be back.
You're giving more the answer.
Jerk off talk. Jerking off talk right after this.
Hello, my name is David Lance, and I'm the president of Google. We own YouTube. Simply put, there are just too many videos on our website. That's why we're going to permanently delete all videos from YouTube and start fresh with Jash. So who is Jash?
Jash. He's a man with an idea. And he wants to light it for you. He'll help make you smart and listen to your feelings too. He's your teach. He's our teach.
We're back with Kyle Kinane and Tommy Chong, two of the greatest stoner icons of all our time.
Thank you.
Together. Finally, you guys have been feuding for a while.
You know, I'm just glad we can, that's water under the bridge now, you know, we can put our past.
What feud was that?
Oh, you remember that big one? Just go with
it. So everybody's getting
Who
pretty high right now, right?
Who could take the longest toke, that one? I think you got to win it.
What's your high history? Tell us about the first time you ever smoked.
First time I was 18? I think I was 18 years old, in a jazz club. A guy gave me a joint and a Lenny Bruce record at the same time. Mm-hmm. Chinese guy. And I took it home, and he thought I was going to smoke it then. And I said, put that joint in my pocket.
Yeah, that was for later.
And then he lit up a joint, and I got high. And listened to jazz for the first time in my life. And I never came down. Yeah. I'm still high.
Who is the most, like, famous? Like, is there somebody that would blow our minds that you smoked weed with them?
Frank Gehry, architect.
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
No one's ever dropped that one on us.
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, because he used to be pretty heavy into it when he was just a bodybuilder, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the only thing he did. He was so healthy. He wouldn't touch coffee, soft drinks. You know, he only drank the purest water, but he smoked a joint. Yeah, that's the only thing he did because it was the healthiest.
Yeah, and he's sort of... I gotta heat this up more.
And smoke pot.
But he sort of quietly decriminalized weed in California before leaving office.
He did.
Like, when he was kind of a lame duck, even. He was almost done.
No, Arnold was very...
So I appreciate him for that. I mean, he's got a lot of other weirdness, but...
when you think about it, it's really stoner weirdness when you think about it. You
know? Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, what he did.
I have sex with my housekeeper.
Bodybuilding isn't really... I don't see that. Like, yeah, man, I feel like lifting some weights right now.
Oh, no.
That's ambitious.
It's good, though.
Yeah. You do. Oh,
I worked out with a lot of... high.
I worked out with a lot of bodybuilders that they get high and then they work out because you forget what you're doing, man. You're having such a good time.
Yeah, you get into it. Yeah.
You've done like 3 days of workout in one setting, you know.
Yeah. The trouble is remembering to go to the gym is my problem.
Then I got high with all the Beatles. Except
I knew it. I was going to fucking guess the Beatles, but then you came out with an architect out of the gate.
Except Paul.
What?
I've never spoke with Paul.
Ah, fuck him anyway.
Yeah, right. He probably got arrested with it more than the others, right?
Yeah, he did. He did. And that's probably why I never got together with him.
Yeah, You don't need a target on your back.
And Ringo and John never really smoked up. Ringo was coming out of rehab. Mm. And he was just kind of there, and I got high. And John, we were at a party at Lou Adler's house. And I walked into the bedroom to find a place to get high. And John was sitting on the floor, like huddled on the floor, like a early caveman, you know, kind of looking. And I lit up the stinkiest joint I've ever had in my life. It was... You know, real poor quality that just smelled, they smell like manure, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I took it.
Shitty weed.
Yeah, I handed it to John, and he turned it down. He said, no, he was on probation.
Oh, really?
He was getting deported or something.
Oh, man. Being you and being on probation, how aggravating was it to have to say no to everybody all the time?
I'm a stoner, man. We don't get aggravated.
That's true.
That's why the drug laws lasted so long, because jails love stoners. We're the best cooks. We're the most. We're neat. You know, we do what we're told to do. We love where we're at, because boy, you get a movie every night if you want, or television. You don't have no wife telling you what to do.
Well, my favorite thing you ever told me about being in prison is that when you just sleep a lot, and when you sleep, you don't dream about being in prison.
Yeah, you're not doing time when you're sleeping.
Isn't that crazy? You're out.
Yes. That's why people.
Is this too heavy for you?
Yeah, I'm like, what do you want to interview? My buddy used to manage a Blockbuster, and we got stoned in the break room there. And that, you get a movie every night at Blockbuster too. We just take it. We wouldn't even pay for the.
One of those dangerous guys.
Yeah. I'm giving it a bad rep.
Working for Blockbusters. Are they still in business?
I mean, I'm sure the Beatles were kind cool of. And everything, Tommy, but Bob was a pretty hip guy himself.
I think they have some Blockbusters in towns that haven't gotten the internet yet. I think those are still open, but most of them are closed. I burnt my finger on this thing. It's not a. It gets really hot.
I don't even know what that is.
This is a device that's a kind of a cousin of the volcano vaporizer.
See these intellectuals, man.
I'm an intellectual.
This is the only man who's ever going to call you that.
Look. Here's what I smoke out of.
Intellectual.
These brainy types, you know, they go, "Oh, let me try that shit," you know.
Well, it's the future.
This thing's ridiculous. Yeah, and I'm not able to get it to work. I'm going to go back to the
toolbox. The cops will never find it.
But you get shot with something that looked like that, though. You point that at a cop, you're dead.
Yeah, right.
A ray gun.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
Didn't I make a stand your green joke on last night's show? I was going to almost do it again.
What's a stand your green joke?
Just, I don't know how we got into it, but somehow I took stand your ground and changed it to a weed thing. Stand your green, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about
it. You don't have to drop your stoners. You don't have to drop your weed.
See, stoners are so nonviolent, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, cops will stop stoners, and you know, the right stoner, if you just smoked up, they ask you got weed, You're not mm-hmm. trying to hide anything.
You have tons of friends that are like, they just say, I've got some.
Yeah?
I say no.
I try that ploy.
I try lying, see how that works out.
Well, you got to say no at the border, or at least you used to.
Yeah, I just got off a boat where I had an apple in my pocket, and the guy was like, are you taking any fruits or vegetables off the boat? And I was like, no.
With an apple?
And I had an apple in my pocket because I had turned it into a pipe. So I threw it away right away, so it's not going to hurt anybody. I'm not going to start some sort of horrible outbreak because I brought an apple off a cruise ship.
That's the easiest place to get rid of evidence is a cruise ship.
I know.
People throw their wives off this thing.
This is an actual funny story. It's a funny story. I thought about throwing it over the balcony, but before I got off the ship, there were maintenance guys working on the side of the boat, dangling right at the level of my window. I would have hit the guy in the crotch with it or something.
I got stopped at Long Beach on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Went up, and I had a beautiful silver pipe packed, ready to go, and I forgot about it until I got to the immigration lady. Mm-hmm. And I looked at and you could see the outline of the pipe in my bag, and she said, ask me what's in the bag, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, fuck. Nothing.
Just an empty bag.
And then I pulled the, recognize me?
Right.
Oh, you're Tommy Chong. Yeah. Take the bag. See you later.
Oh, I hope that works for me someday. Usually the ones that hassle you, you know, like people, if I'm getting hassled, it's somebody who has no idea what my career is or what I do or anything. They just, you know, they're just a cop hassling a guy about weed, you know.
Yeah.
But because every cop that speaks to me, it's always like they say nice things. You know, because they recognize me. They don't even hassle me about it.
Oh, man.
They recognize me all the time. I'm sure you get recognized every time you go through.
If I never had that, man, I'd be in jail now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been all over the country, all over the world.
Well, back to jail questions. You were in jail at the same time, same place with Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
We shared a cubicle.
And how was he? That's what somebody wants to know. Ross.
Well, I can't tell you on TV how he was. You know.
What Ross wants to know, do you still talk to him?
Very soft. Did you talk to him? Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I inspired him.
And did you see the movie?
Yeah.
Like when Leonardo DiCaprio snorting coke out of that hooker's asshole, you're like, that's my boy.
That was all.
Mates for life.
That was all made up. No. Never really? Happened exactly that way.
He wasn't as crazy with the sex stuff.
Well, I shouldn't ruin the movie for everybody, but they changed the ladies around to protect people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't exactly correct the way they had the ladies. But the kind of shenanigans that went on
look correct to me,
right?
There were more than what they showed in the movie,
right?
More decadent, more crazy.
Oh God, there were more.
At least the movie seems like no holds barred.
I got to tell you, we didn't sit there I didn't help him write that way at all. What happened? I kind of embarrassed him into writing.
Really?
Yeah, because I was writing constantly myself.
Sure.
And one day Jordan said, because all he did at the time was play tennis. He went out and played tennis all day. And then he'd see me writing. And finally he asked me, you know, what I was doing. I told him, writing a book. And he said, oh, I'm going to write a book. And so he took a couple of weeks and he wrote out a page. And he was like a little kid. He hands me his papers, you know, and I'm like a teacher, an old teacher. And I read it. And I had to tell him the truth, man. You know, you didn't write shit, man. And he got really hurt. He was like a little kid. What do you mean? You know, I'm a genius. I'm Jordan Belfort. You know?
But he wasn't really revealing anything. There was no.
It wasn't shit. And you don't say that. Well, you know, in the business, you don't tell a bad comic that he's a bad comic.
Right, right.
But if you see someone that's a genius, you tell him when he's bad. Like if he's fooling himself. And that's what it was with Jordan. I know the guy was a genius. So I told him, what he did, he copied another writer's style. Uh-huh. That's how smart he is. And it read really good, you know, sure. And really nice, you know. But it wasn't his style. And he wasn't telling the stories that he'd tell me every night. We'd sit up all night, and he's telling me the whole movie. And so when he wrote that little thing he wrote, I told him, I want to read about what you've been telling me at night. And then I told him a few tricks of the trade, you know, how to articulate, you know, a story. Yeah. You know, like I the advice I gave him that really stuck in his head, I forgot I gave it to him, you know, because when I saw him again, he reminded me.
What I said.
It was a thing called the most of, you know, like if you're going to write about anything, make it the most of, make it the biggest ever. And so whatever, all his stories he did that the most of. He didn't have like one hooker, he had 1,000 hookers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he had marching band and all that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just give him a few words about it. That's all. Just maybe a half hour. And then he went away and wrote this.
So he wrote the book. Yeah. You guys both wrote books while you were there.
Yeah, I wrote mine in like a week and a half. You know.
Right, because you had to go back to the end and hit the weights.
No, it was fast. I'm not a writer, you know. So you get this shit over with.
Yeah, it takes so much. It's a hard thing for me to write long form stuff.
You know? Well, he's a beyond genius. He's a genius. Like. The reason he got in the stock market was that he went to medical school because he was such a genius in school, he was going to become a doctor. That's how smart he is. But the first day at medical school, the professor said that if you're here to make money, I want you to get up and leave right now. So Jordan got up and left. And then he became an entrepreneur, hustler,
yeah,
in Long Island, and then he became the stockbroker.
Yeah,
it's a very entertaining movie. Watching how much fun those guys had, just ripping off, just ruining lives.
No, but you got to realize they were like fishermen. You know, they were throwing out the bait that these people were addicted to.
Yeah.
They're all gamblers.
Yeah.
They're all gamblers. Mm. And so someone's going to take their money.
Yeah.
So why not Belfort?
Yeah, Vegas is just as bad as him, of course.
They're exactly the same. And the more the odds are, and these are addictive people, and that's what he was.
Yeah. He's having so much fun
tricked them
doing
a little
it.
Bit more in the movie, though.
So what he did, but what he did when he found out that he could write, you know, I changed his whole life. or at least, you know, him being around me. And now he's a writer, and he's using all that genius.
Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't play a lot of people, real people in movies. You know, it's J. Edgar Hoover and Jordan Belfort. And
Howard Hughes, didn't he play Howard Hughes?
Yeah, yeah, he's done a few of those movies. Yeah. Of course, Gatsby. I'm stupid. So how you guys doing on your smoking? Are you enjoying these various
things? Like I smoked all this while I started that one.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Good man. This is a fun pipe I got. You guys would appreciate. Somebody made this for me, and I wish I could tell you who it was. Maybe they'll contact me. But they gave it to me.
Nice plug, Doug.
Yeah, right? But it's a microphone. I've had it for a while, but I've never smoked out of it. It's a microphone-shaped...
There's someone sitting out there. Hey, look, he's going to mention my name.
It's a nice pipe. I'm going to fill it and smoke from it, I think.
You fill your microphone pipe.
So you smoke quite a bit of weed then these days, huh?
Yeah, always. I enjoy it.
That's probably why you haven't really made it big.
Right? It's holding me back. Yeah. Never going to succeed in this business if I insist on.
No, but the thing is, stoners, we're smart. We know that if we find it a good place to sit, the world will eventually pass us by us. We don't have to go anywhere.
That's right.
Just sit there and keep our eyes open.
That's even tough.
Wow, I wish that was like the end of the show, because that was so perfect to go out on. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Tommy Chong. You've learned some shit. We still have another segment to go with lots of fun things, like plug in your guys' stuff and a special surprise that we have just for you guys.
Did we talk about Canna Saver?
Yes, we did. We mentioned Canna Saver. You go there, you're going to get the best deals in all of the available in Colorado.
Do you know what it is? Mm-hmm. Like it's a coupon thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's for...
Have you ever done coupons? I've never been... I always find them like 5 years later.
Yeah, sure. Well, now it's all, on the internet. And you could probably just do it all over your phone.
I've never bought weed.
I like those punch cards.
You never, ever had to buy weed.
Something to look forward to.
You never had like a dealer. Did you guys ever have
any weed for people? You know, people say, hey, I can get you some. But I've never really had to buy weed, at least in the past 30 years.
Yeah. People ask me that all the time. Do you ever buy weed? And I do sometimes just because I feel like, you know, paying into the system or whatever.
Oh, that's supporting the
system.
And
I've got my medical card, so I like going to a dispensary and getting to choose between things, you know.
Well, I don't think there's a doubt that you're an advocate.
I'm for it, for sure.
I think you're doing definitely for it.
You gotta grow it, though. That's the most fun.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have to. It's my medical. I have a medical condition.
And is it not possible for you to break probation in any way other than if you committed another crime, right? You're absolutely free and clear.
Oh, totally.
Like they're not watching you or what you're saying.
I was actually... So, technically, I was free back then. I was too worried. You know, I was acting like a real con.
Right.
Because there was no way they were going to put me back in the system, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah, when you look at it.
Not over that, you know.
But it was still smart of you to not be in a show where the audience was throwing weed at us every night. It was the best thing that ever happened.
That part wasn't bad. It was trying to smuggle it into Canada. That's the part that got me. Because smugglers can get a lot of time, you know.
It was a small enough amount that three of us just each took a bite and ate it.
Yeah,
finished it. It was a big bud.
I was gonna say, like, what's the most we got rid of it throwing on stage when you've been on there?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the Olympics. You know, when the girls finish skating, they throw all the roses on the ice. That's Tommy at the end of a marijuana.
You're just twirling.
Just people hurling their weed up on stage. The first night in Vancouver, where that happened, but at least it was Vancouver or whatever, where things are a little bit more lax.
They were, not anymore.
Right, they're starting to tighten up.
Because the National Health Service has taken over the weed industry, and so they're closing everybody down.
Oh. All right. Well. Sorry. But I got to go to a break. But on that note, we'll see you in a moment. I got some more fun stuff coming.
Jazz. There can be nothing greater than love that you're giving for all of time. How have the devil you ever needed? Hope you can see it right. You gotta move like you haven't before. You gotta know. You're thoughtless and you're broken and you're heartless. You're probably not a diva, you're a cunt. Cunt, 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 cunt.
Oh, here with the legendary Kyle Kinane.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Tommy Chong.
Thank you.
Who's used to being on that end of the ampersand. some things happened on last night's show. We did a live show here in town where a bunch of us smoked on stage. And I mentioned that I thought five states were going to have recreational marijuana on their ballots in the fall. Matt Besser, one of the guests, he corrected me and said that that wasn't accurate, but he didn't also know what the true story was. So what's actually happening is that there will recreational marijuana will probably be on the ballot this year in Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, D.C. And then for 2016, California and Massachusetts. And California just yesterday decided that to stop gathering signatures because they think they're moving too fast, and they want to do it right instead of fast.
This is a stoner move.
Can you believe it?
Hold it. We got enough money. Money at us.
It should all just be
Ruin our accounting service.
It should all be make it not illegal for people to have it. That should be what we're trying to do. You know?
No. Relax. It doesn't matter if it's legal
or
not.
It doesn't. You're right.
Anywhere.
You're right. We're white.
We don't give a shit.
Yeah,
it's only illegal when you get caught.
Don't you like the thrill of it a little bit, you know?
I guess, but I won't miss that. I won't miss the thrill at all. See, I like being places where you can smoke and nobody cares.
What we all realize is that this illegalization of it is just a way of collecting tax racially, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's so amazing how slow they are to pick up on all the money that can be made by just legalizing it.
Well, no, they know. It's not about money, man. It's about control. See, they can control a population with a bullshit law like this, and they have for almost 100 years.
Yeah.
See? And we're waking up. I mean, you know, I've been awake for many years.
Yeah, of course.
And a lot of people have, but you know, the people now, you know, are now realizing it's all bullshit.
I've been awake for like a couple of weeks now, and I'm really going to try to do. I'm going to try to do something about this. I'm fired up. But right now, since we're all very high, and it's, we want to see how you react to it. We're going to force you to watch a magic trick. It's Gabe time. My friend Gabe's going to do a trick for you guys.
Oh, great.
And just enjoy it.
Come on in, Gabe. Magic.
Get in there.
How's it going?
How are you? Kyle, I'm not as good as those teenage magicians.
Man, did you see that movie?
I did.
Okay, so you know what's
going on. Are you a psychic, too?
I do a little bit of everything, sure.
Really?
Yeah. Do you mind helping me, Kyle?
Sure.
All right, just tell me when to stop anytime you want.
Stop.
Okay, right there. Yeah. Take a look at that card. Show it to the camera. Okay.
Now you forgot what card it was, did you?
That's happened to me before.
No, it's burned into my brain.
I know what it is this time.
What do you call those things?
Now, I let a friend know a prediction that I had of what card you were going to pick today.
Okay.
And I wrote their phone number down beneath that tray. Tommy, do you mind finding that phone number?
This tray?
Yeah, it's underneath there.
Pick it up. Oh, there's a note here.
Yeah. And just read me that phone number, if you don't mind.
Oh my God! How did you do that?
This is getting in the we're getting in the layers.
Okay, here we go.
In the layers right now. Phone number
323.
Okay, 323. Kyle, make sure that's what I.
Yep. 323.
651.
651.
This is no two.
8348.
8348.
8348. I'm gonna press dial. Put it on speaker.
All right.
Let's see what happens.
It's.
I'm gonna put the phone back there.
I hope it's the right number.
I think I got it right this time.
Sorry, Mr. Call. Feel free to leave a message. Oh, if this is about the card, it should be the five of spades.
Oh, man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was it? Right.
Yeah, that was it.
Whoa.
Thanks,
thanks, Gabe.
Whoa!
So
That was a redeeming moment there. He did that last night. It didn't work for some reason.
It didn't work?
Yeah, he got it right today.
I saw that trick done before, but the guy had a whole deck of five of spades.
Is it...
Well, that was a real deck.
Is it a guy just watching that you called because you showed it to the camera? And you're like, are you watching the show? Like, yeah, what card is it?
Oh,
yeah,
good,
call me. It's five of spades.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory, but the trick still works on the reruns.
I'm falling for the first trick that you're supposed to fall for, and it's going to be like double amazing.
Kyle, you're going to be in Vancouver this Friday and Saturday.
Vancouver? Where?
I don't know.
Someplace. He's going to be wandering the streets of Vancouver, scared about what we've said about it, that
it's
getting tougher to
be.
Northwest
Comedy Festival?
Where's that?
Vancouver.
No, but we're playing right here.
Tommy's lived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
He's really down with Vancouver conversations.
I had a comedy club there. That's where Cheech and I started.
Oh.
Vancouver.
There you go.
Canada, right?
Yeah.
That one. Pittsburgh, March 19th to 22nd, and in Melbourne at the International Comedy Festival, March 24th through April 7th. Visit KyleKinane.com.
Melbourne?
For dates.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun, man.
Oh, Melbourne. Exciting.
Are you a single fella?
Okay.
I'm sure she loves you going to Australia for 2 weeks.
Was that a gay sign?
Maybe it's complicated.
Are you single?
Yeah, man. Okay. It's all good. You don't have to answer that. That's not what this show is about. Tommy, we talked about at the top of the show. Here's the reminder. It's on your shirt, cannasaver.com, number one place on the web to find the largest selection of marijuana coupons and deals.
Yeah.
Marijuana coupons.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah. And I'll be at Cobb's in San Francisco Saturday, April 19th.
How is San Francisco?
How is it? I love it.
Yeah
it's one of my favorite cities.
Yeah. A lot of gay people
there. A lot of pot smoke in the air there, like in downtown San Francisco, walking around and stuff. I love it. And then I'll be at Helium in Portland on April 20th, 420.
Portland.
Yeah, I love it.
Love Portland.
Mm-hmm. All of my dates are at thosemovies.com.
Is that the only comedy club in Portland?
Helium's like a newer one. There used to be one there, or it still is, an older
Harvey's
one.
Harvey's.
Harvey. I never
That's
worked
still
it.
There.
Did you ever work at
Never
Harvey's?
Worked Harvey's. No. Just leapfrog right into...
He would hire... I don't know who he'd hire, you know. I don't know. Immigrants.
I don't know where he found him. Yeah, like he really just... basement show. So they opened up a club that gets, you know, bigger names, and it seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah. I don't think he paid much. The other guy, or he didn't.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. That he saves a lot of money because he doesn't pay the comics much. He has expensive booze, and he gets the whole crowd in for free. That's what it is.
That's,
the comedy club you go to on the weekend to get drunk, and
it's a
you got
booze
in for
joint
free.
With a comedy sign up.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But we got to go.
Is it over?
That raced by. So much fun talking to you guys. Yeah. Plus, we got some on the serious tip here and there.
Yeah. We got into it.
We got into it.
We did?
Yeah. Thank you, Tommy Chong. Thank you, Kyle.
Shows you what I know.
Thanks, Dave. God. I got to thank Dave, of course. You know why?
Because Dave
did not hear me. See you next Wednesday.
He's such a card. He ought to be dealt with.